Let me ask you, has pornography destroyed society, or is it a reflection of what society really is? Well, I don't know, and neither does anyone else. But when you hear talk about porn in the media, it's always in these kind of broad, sweeping statements. But have you ever asked the people in your life about their own experience of porn? Of course you haven't. Neither have I. But I know a woman who has. Her name is Polly Barton. She has a book out. It's called Porn and Oral History. And it does exactly that. And it is a fascinating read. Polly is on the line now. Polly, good morning.
Morning, Jen.
Thank you so much for doing this. Where did the idea of the book come from? And how did you select these people to speak to in it?
I think the idea really came to me. You know, it kind of came out of this awareness that I was getting into my late 30s and had a really, really good group of friends who I felt like I could talk with about anything. And then I sort of started realizing, like you just said, that I had that subject had never, ever come up. And I think I was thinking about it because just more and more we're seeing it everywhere, you know, in articles, in TV shows. It's kind of it's scattered all across the media, and everyone's talking about the ubiquity of it, and yet it felt just so weirdly absent from actual conversations. And it was in the middle of the pandemic, and it sort of felt like the world was being turned upside down anyway. So I was like, why don't I just try this? Like, why don't I set about having conversations with people about it? And I think at that time I was really sure that, you know, they needed to be conversations as opposed to interviews. They needed to be really, you know, a two-way chat where I was also kind of contributing and not hiding behind the interviewer role, I guess.
So that was intentional, because your contributors, they're sharing so much, as are you. So did that just happen naturally, or was that premeditated?
It was kind of premeditated. I felt like I would be able to have more intimate and honest conversations with people that I knew to some degree. So what I did actually when I had the idea of this book is sent out a kind of big call out email to friends and actually some kind of colleagues, with just everyone on BCC. And the subject line was a request. And I was basically like, would you like to talk to me about porn? And a surprising number of people actually said yes. And a lot of them said yes almost immediately. That was really surprising to me.
You need to do another book about the people who didn't want to talk about porn, because that's a book in itself. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But I mean, the thing with porn, like sex, everyone has a view on it in theory, but people don't talk very openly about it. That's why you did this. But why is that? Why don't people talk very openly about their own experience with porn?
I think there's such a mix of reasons. I mean, I think one of them is like almost the silence itself becomes this self-perpetuating thing, right? The more that we don't talk about it, the more we don't feel equipped to talk about it, the more we're scared of talking about it, and we sort of don't feel like we're going to be articulate enough or haven't, you know, formed our opinions yet. So I think that's a really big thing. I also think, like you mentioned so beautifully in the intro, like the way that it's framed so often in the media is this like real binary question, you know, good or bad. Like, is it the death of our society, or, you know, is it like the birth of all sexual creativity? And of course, it's like it's a massively nuanced subject. Yeah. And there's so much that's bad about it and so much that's good about it, I think, or at least can be. So why don't we break that down and discuss that?
And educate ourselves, as well about porn, because if we're hiding behind closed doors and, you know, everyone has a phone and everyone has access to it, and if we don't know what we're watching or why we're watching it, we can fall into a category of not watching ethical porn, which we've talked about on the show so often. Most mainstream porn seems to be made certainly a lot of it for straight white men. So how did, let's talk about this, how did ethnicity feature in your conversations, first of all?
In multiple different ways. You know, I spoke to people of various ethnicities, and a lot of people who belong to an ethnicity which is, you know, particularly fetishized, right, within porn, like, you know, having Japanese heritage, or I spoke to one black gay guy who was talking about his experiences of, you know, of how people's perceptions of their ethnicity that originate in porn then leak out into sort of their
dating world, right?
Dating world, and even sort of, you know, just casual comments that people make to their partners, you know, oh, you're with someone who's partly Japanese, you must be really into, you know, Japanese porn, and that kind of stuff, which, you know, it was really sort of devastating to see with a couple of people who I'd spoken to how deeply that affects their own image of themselves and their ethnicity. And again, this is another thing that I think people are so frightened to talk about openly. But then there's also, you know, that I think we also need to sort of, when we're talking about porn, remember that the ethnicities, or the, you know, the kind of categories that aren't necessarily acknowledged verbally because they're seen as the quote unquote default, right? But like the kind of skinny white cis bodies, and people that are kind of held up as the ultimate sexual fantasy, I suppose. And I think it's really helpful just to sort of acknowledge that and talk about what it is that we're actually seeing, and the ways in which these different bodies are being presented and the kind of narratives that are being, you know, told about them.
How did the people that you spoke to feel that the internet porn has changed over the years as access to technology became more widespread? Did they go into that?
They do go into that.
Like, long gone are the days you would find a porn magazine in a tin and an old tin of biscuits in a field. Like, those days are gone.
Right, or in the woods.
In the woods, yeah.
Weirdly, where everyone seems to come across their porn in the old days. Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, something that I really appreciated about these chats that I had was that in many cases they presented sort of aspects of the world of porn that I really wasn't familiar with. And sort of, you know, I saw a totally different perspective. So I spoke to one guy who, you know, is roughly my age, grown up kind of very, very online. And so sort of just as he was, I guess, entering puberty was the age when the very first incarnation of like internet porn was starting to appear. And then he sort of witnessed its growth. And I was really surprised to find that he was so optimistic and positive about the way that, you know, porn has developed and about the way that kind of streaming culture and so on and so forth, and the sort of the second wave of as he called it, which is, you know, all the OnlyFans and sort of cam services have shaped porn, and the phrase that he kept using was democratization. You know, that in back in the day when porn was mostly videos, it was very much in the hands of kind of a few very wealthy white male producers in the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah.
And now we have this, you know, situation, as we saw very, very clearly in the pandemic, where, you know, if people are in their houses with a partner or alone, they can just make porn sort of for themselves and doing the things that they like. I mean, this is not to say, obviously, that that's the only side to porn. And I think...
But it is a side. It is a side. Like you said, it's so widespread. It's so huge. It's interesting to hear that take on it. Of the people you spoke to who were or had been in relationships, how many of them regularly watch porn with a partner? Or was it all done on their own?
A few people spoke about trying watching with it with a partner.
Okay.
You know, and sometimes that had gone well and sometimes that had gone not so well. But I didn't speak to anyone for whom that was, you know, a really regular part of their sex life.
Interesting.
You know, it was sort of a one-off thing. But I my personal feeling is the idea doesn't really appeal to me, I have to say. But I do see the charm of it in that it feels like a way of both of you attempting to sort of break that secrecy and let each other a little bit into your kind of private worlds, if you like. You know, if you are in a relationship and both of you are watching porn or sort of, you know, consuming erotica of some kind, like I feel as though watching porn together could potentially be a way of sort of initiating those conversations, you know, maybe not in the moment, but afterwards, sort of talking, you know, opening up a broader conversation about what it is that you're watching when you're by yourself.
You said you spoke to one guy roughly the same age as you, and he had quite a positive spin on it. And what was the word he used? What did he say?
Democratization.
Yes, and women taking back control and OnlyFans and all this kind of stuff. But were there any conversations you had with people that worried you or thought, oh, that's a bit dark. Oh, I didn't think of that.
I mean, I had already, before I started this project, had some very dark thoughts about porn. I wasn't anti it. But I think, you know, when I was growing up, I very much sort of, porn felt like an encapsulation of a lot of the kind of misogynistic aspects of society that I was sort of becoming aware of, I suppose, when I was a teenager. And so I don't think it was so much that people said things to me that I hadn't
or shocked you, yeah,
that shocked me, but I was able to sort of talk through some of those aspects. I think we need to be really clear that, you know, a lot of mainstream porn, the kind of stuff that you find on the top page of Pornhub or whatever, is really really violent towards women and sort of and degrading in a way that isn't acknowledged as a kink. You know, I mean, there's a power imbalance there, but it's not being sort of owned. It that is seen as the default, and I think that is one aspect of porn that does really worry me, and one that I feel like really, really, really we need education to provide an antidote to. You know, especially when we think that there are just so many young people out there now for whom porn and everything sort of around porn is really, really their first contact with anything sexual. And, you know, let's say that they're watching kind of that kind of porn for 4 or 5 years before they actually have any kind of sexual experience themselves. There's so much that's going to be ingrained and normalized by that point. And that's why I feel like conversations are really, really crucial.
Writing a book is definitely a labor of love. How did the project change once you began having the conversations? And how did you feel about it in the end?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, if I'm honest, when I first started having those conversations, I didn't know what I was going to do with them. I've written a book before, which was all about Japan, and it was essays, you know, very sort of neat, polished essays. And I think when I first started having those conversations, I really did think that this one would end up that way as well, that I'd have these conversations and then write up my experience. And it was only as I started speaking to people and recording the conversations and then transcribing them that I really felt like, wow, no, these need to go out in their original form. Just the kind of the rawness of that those experiences that I'd been entrusted with by my friends felt like something that I really wanted other people to read. And also, I didn't really trust myself to represent that sheer diversity of voices and takes and feelings that I was getting through these 19 chats that I did.
Who would you like to see reading it? I mean, if you were to see the book in the hands of a certain type of person, who is that? Is it, you know, lads between the ages of 17 and 25? Is it who do you want to read this book?
I would love to see some lads reading it. I mean, honestly, I wanted to talk to more lads than I did. Mm-hmm. This sounds like a cheesy thing to say, but I really, really do feel like anyone who has ever felt sort of uncomfortable in some way about porn, whether through watching it or just through sort of being aware of its presence, or kind of wanted to speak about it and felt like they couldn't do that, they are the people I would really like to read this book. Yeah,
it's a great idea. It's a great read. Thank you for the book. It's such a great idea, and you have made it into a great book, and everybody should read this. Polly Barton, I wish you the very best of luck. And when you write the second book about all the people who didn't want to talk about porn, that's another one. You can come back and chat about that. Thanks for coming on the show, Polly.
Thank you so
much.
Bye,
love. Bye. Her name is Polly Barton. The book is Porn and Oral History. It is out now. Go and get it.